You're listening to the Church Requel Audio Podcast, Episode 54, Toxic Words, for this Tuesday, April 23rd, 2013.
They've made me feel like a prisoner. They've made me feel set free. They made me feel like a criminal, made me feel like a king. They've lifted my heart to places I've never been, and they've dragged me down back to where I began. Words can build you up, words can break you down.
Hello, everybody. This is Mark Pierce, the pastor at Church Requel and the voice behind the Church Requel audio podcast. It is so great to have you with us this week. I have my special cup of coffee here that I'm going to be sipping, and I can just imagine you sitting on the other side of the table with me, maybe having a cup of coffee, or maybe you're out exercising and working out. You know, I love listening to podcasts as I'm working out. Yesterday, I got to take advantage of the spring weather, and I'm training for a half marathon. So I ran 17 miles. That was my scheduled long run for this week. And, you know, it just takes me a long, long time to do that, about 3 hours. So I love listening to podcasts, and you know, maybe you're exercising, doing something, probably not a 17-mile run. I mean, let's face it, I'm a little crazy to do that, right? But whatever it is you're doing, whether it's exercising or driving down the road or flying cross-country, I know a lot of folks do a lot of things while they listen to the podcast. So thanks for bringing me along. You're listening to the theme music that we had from this past weekend called Words by Hank Nelson. Our theme for Sunday was Toxic Words, and you're going to hear the sermon here at the end of the podcast here. I just was so thrilled to be able to listen to Brandy sing that song. We're going to talk about that in a little bit more. You know, you might want to know, what in the world is this podcast thing all about anyway? You know, do I just love to hear myself talk? Well, not really. But the truth is that, you know, I have the opportunity through the podcast being able to talk to a whole lot of people that, well, I just probably wouldn't be able to talk to on a Sunday morning. And we have a whole lot more time to be able to do it than what we have on a Sunday morning. So this is my chance to talk to parishioners, to talk to other pastors, just to create a community around the idea of getting a new church started and off the ground. This is our chance to kind of tell our story. And, you know, there's just things that you can do on a podcast that you just really couldn't do in any other kind of format. You know, it's very laid back. We just kind of have a conversation. You know, really what kind of comes up. I do kind of outline this, have some idea of what we're going to be talking about. But really, it's just a whole lot more talking and a whole lot more conversation. I wish that I could have you here with me. I just kind of have to imagine that, but it's our chance to really have that talk. And it really gives me a chance also for those who are really following Church Requel to kind of know ahead of time what's coming and what's happening. I like to refer to this podcast as the podcast for the Church Requel insiders, because you hear things long before anybody else. So thanks a lot for listening. Trying to get back to a Tuesday schedule here. I'm recording this on Tuesday morning. I shared with you last week how, you know, I just really like to get my work started on Tuesday and get focused on the planning sheet. But, you know, what's happening is that the podcast is coming out later and later. And I know from myself as a podcast listener of other podcasts that I actually like knowing the day that this thing is going to be coming out, and I can kind of look forward to it. And while a great podcast app will just go ahead and do that automatically, you know, there are people like me who kind of like to know what their schedule is. So I'm going to do my best to get back to a Tuesday schedule, to record it on Tuesday, to get it up and out on Tuesday. So you have all week long to decide, you know, whether or not you want to listen and find the time that works out best for you. I was mentioning before that when I'm exercising and working out, I love listening to podcasts. I've had some people who have asked me, well, how do you go about listening to a podcast? You know, I think I presume an awful lot upon you because I know some of you actually bring up your computer and go to a website. And, you know, we have a couple of different places on the web, churchrequel.com and churchrequel.org, where we broadcast this podcast every single week. But, you know, you don't have to have a computer with you. You can use the modern technology of either a tablet or a smartphone, any kind of mobile device. And now there are just many kind of apps that are out there for you to use to be able to listen to the podcast. It's a wonderful thing because the app will actually go out and look for the podcast on a regular basis for you and then notify you when it's available. And if you set it up right, even download it for you to be able to listen to so that you don't have to be hooked up to the internet. You could take the mobile device with you as you're out and about and then be able to listen to it at your convenience. When I was in the Android world, I used an app called Beyond Pod. And there is a couple of different versions of Beyond Pod that's out there. I'll have a link in the show notes for you to be able to click on so you can learn more about it. But there's a free version, and then there's a version that costs. You know, I find just in these apps that if I want to try something out, I use the free version. If I find it's something that I'm using over and over and over again, then yeah, I personally like to go ahead and pay the $2 or $3 or $4, whatever it costs, to get the app. And you say, well, why would you do that when it's free? Well, you know, I want these app developers to be able to make a living too. I want them to keep up with the app and to make it better and to, you know, make it so that I can do, you know, the things I want to be able to do with the podcast. And if it costs a couple of bucks to make that happen so that they can stay in business, well, hey, it's worth it to me. But Beyond Pod has a free version. You can try that out on your Android device, either mobile phone or tablet. I know many of you have recently gone out and bought some new Android tablets to be able to follow the sermon in YouVersion on Sundays. So this would be another way to be able to keep up with Church Requel. Check it out, Beyond Pod. For those of you who are in the iOS world, the Apple world, like I am, there is a podcast app that actually comes from Apple. It is certainly more than sufficient to do what you need it to do for the Church Requel audio podcast. It's free, doesn't cost anything. And I would highly recommend that you take a look at that if you're looking for the free version. I actually use another app, and I think it was $4 or $5, a little bit more on the expensive side, but I listen to so many podcasts that this is so valuable to me. It's called Instacast, I-N-S-T-A-C-A-S-T, Instacast, and I find that to be a really terrific app to use on my iPhone. So there's just a couple of ideas for you to be able to listen to the Church Requel audio podcast. I'll have links on the show note page to Beyond Pod podcast from Apple and Instacast for your iOS device. While I'm talking about podcasts, I thought it'd be worthwhile just to share with you that there are some other podcasts that I listen to. If you really like being in the podcast world and you say, well, you know, when I get done with my hour or so with the Church Requel audio podcast, what do I listen to, you know, from there? There are two that I make sure I am always up on and that I think I could highly recommend, especially if you like to know what's going on in the church world and if you like to know what's going on in leadership. The first one that I can recommend is Andy Stanley's Leadership Podcast. It comes out once a month. Andy Stanley is a senior pastor of a church in Atlanta. He's also a great author and a terrific leader, and he writes and talks about leadership quite often. I love the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast because it's fairly short, to the point, typically only lasts 20 to 30 minutes, and only comes out once a month. So check that out, the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast. I'll include a link for you on that as well. And then the other one, again, more for the church world leadership, is called the Catalyst Podcast. It comes out about once a week. It features many different leaders within the church, a lot of pastors, a lot of writers. They always have a special interview. Catalyst is a conference for young leaders. But, you know, I, even though I'm not necessarily in my 20s or 30s, I try to think young, and I like listening to what they're talking about. So I can highly recommend that for you as well. Again, I'll have a link for you in the show notes. Certainly, you want to keep listening to the Church Requel audio podcast, but these others are also really great as well. Work has begun on the tech booth at Church Requel. I was stopping by this morning at the church, and Steve was there working on it, on the tech booth. Now, he's actually been working on the tech booth for a few weeks, but a lot of that work has been behind the scenes. Now, when you come to Church Requel, you're actually going to begin seeing the frame of our tech booth that's going to be installed in the back center of the Church Requel auditorium or sanctuary at the Point of Grace. And it'll be a great opportunity for us to more permanently put in our sound system, our lighting system, screen system, that we use for the to put up all the pictures and everything. Right now we don't have the ability to have that stuff locked down. And it just, the church is used for a lot of different things throughout the week. And now when we get this done, our audio and visual technicians will be a little bit higher up. They'll be elevated. They'll be able to see over the heads of everybody. And they'll be in the perfect position to be able to hear everything as well. So it's going to be a nice setup, a nice arrangement. We have access to the same paneling and wainscoting that is now in the church and surrounding that church. You know, they built that 126 years ago, and there's just no way that you could duplicate that kind of workmanship today. And certainly we couldn't afford it. But Pastor Paul, who lives on the other side of the wall in what we call the chome, he had closeted off some space and had some of this paneling and wainscoting that now wasn't even visual to his apartment. And he has given us access to that. So we, over the last few weeks, have been very carefully taking that down off the wall on that side and sizing it up to be able to install for the tech booth. And at the end of the day, and I don't know how many weeks it's going to take for us to get this done, but it will look like that tech booth was originally designed as part of the original church, because that paneling and wainscoting will be matched on the outside of the tech booth. That's just going to be awesome. Again, you're going to have to excuse our workmanship a little bit over the course of the next few weeks, but hey, you're used to that by now. I did notice that all of the scaffolding has been removed from the sanctuary area, and we have lived with that for a long time. The ladders are out, the scaffolding is out, so we can get that area cleaned up on the right side of the auditorium as you walk in. So that's going to be kind of terrific for us as well. And that's a good thing too, because I've noticed that we've had a lot of new people coming, and we're going to need the space for them. Hey, this is Pastor Mark thinking positive. Also, along the lines of you being an insider and knowing what's going on, Pastor Paul has one of his churches that's going to be meeting at the Point of Grace this coming Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Now, again, our service is not till 11, but it's going to be interesting to see how this works. There is a big event that is happening in our community called the Mudder, M-U-D-D-E-R. It's an athletic event, and there'll be thousands of people coming. Well, Paul's church is right near where that is happening, and there's going to be so much traffic. that they've just decided they're not even going to try to have their Sunday morning church service there and instead have it at the Point of Grace. And I told Paul, no problem at all. We'll get everything ready to go well in advance so they can have their service at 9. They'll be done a little after 10, and then we'll have our service at 11. Now, this will give me a great chance to see how that works with all the parking and everything. Here's an insider scoop that you might not know about. On our sign out front, when we had our sign designed, there's a little banner at the bottom that slides in. It says Sundays at 11 a.m. That's when we meet, right? Well, I asked the sign designers when they were building that, hey, how much harder would it be? Would it be any more expensive for us to put something on the back side of that banner? And he said, no, if you let us know ahead of time, it won't cost you anything. So on the back side of that banner, I had them put in Sundays at 9 and 11. You know, thinking down the road, when we fill that place up with the 11 o'clock service, we might need to go to two services. And I don't know when that's going to be, but we've got the sign ready for it. And this coming Sunday, it'll give us a chance to see, you know, exactly what are some of the things that we need to be prepared for if and when we go to two services. Hey, again, there's Pastor Mark trying to be ahead and think about things. Talking about thinking about things and giving you an inside scoop of what's going to be going on. There's going to be a big announcement video this coming Sunday. We're going to be announcing that we're going to be setting up a special fund to raise money for a baptistry, a portable baptistry that we want to be able to have available for us at Church Requel. Now, here's kind of the story behind this. I'm not sure that I would have stepped up myself and said, hey, let's raise the money to do this. Because after all, you all have been so faithful in giving to Church Requel. And, you know, we've been having a lot of transition expenses, but God has been good and you have been faithful. And you know, we really are doing quite well financially as far as, you know, the gifts that are coming in for us. But I thought, gee, you know, I'm not sure I want to take this next step and ask people for this baptistry. And yet, recently, about a month ago, we had our membership class. And part of our membership class is to talk about the fact that we believe in adult baptism. That means that when someone comes to faith, when someone says, yes, I believe in Jesus, that, you know, they have the opportunity to then be baptized. We love the idea that, you know, when Jesus gave the commands for what the church should be doing, there were really only two things that he institutionalized. And one was the idea of taking communion, the Last Supper, in remembrance of him. And we do that, of course, every week at Church Requel. The other thing that he told us, and this was right before he ascended into heaven, he said, go and baptize, everyone who, you know, is being discipled. And so we follow that as well. And I know that it's possible for us to baptize in the summer outside and, you know, find a pond or something where we can baptize. But being in the north central part of Ohio, you know, there's really only about 2 or 3 months a year when it's warm enough to baptize people outside. And, you know, most of what I read, at least in the book of Acts, tells me that people, when they were baptized right away. Admittedly, they were probably baptized outside, but in the Mideast, where, you know, the Bible is, the New Testament is written, it's, you know, a lot warmer climate. For us to be able to baptize people right away, we need to be able to have some means within our church itself to be able to, you know, baptize. The location that we were at before we went to the Point of Grace actually had a baptismal built into the place, and that was really wonderful. But now we don't have that. And so I talked, you know, to our membership class about the importance of baptism, but I told them we don't really have a baptistry, so we're still kind of figuring this out. Well, there were two folks that were part of our membership class, Jack and Sherry. And Jack came up to me during one of the breaks, the membership class, and said, hey, you know, I know you got some ideas here for this baptistry. Why don't you send it to me? I'd like to know more about it. So I have done that. I've been in conversation with Jack and Sherry. And basically there's a thing called a portable baptistry. Again, I'm going to give you a link to it in the show notes page. It's portablebaptistry.com. And this is a business that actually makes lightweight, sectional structure, portable, convenient to store, state-of-the-art portable system, all self-contained, all modular designed, that can be set up and torn down and yet be large enough to be able to baptize somebody. And we're really, really excited about the possibility of that. Well, Jack and Sherry came up to me this past week and said, look, we want to make this possible. So here's what we're going to do. Let's do a special fund for the next 6 weeks, give people an opportunity to give to this baptistry so that they can have a part of it as well. But whatever is not given, and the cost of it is not insignificant, although it's very reasonable, I think, for what we get. It's about $3,400 shipped and all said and done. Whatever is not given, we will make up the difference. So it's done. It's going to be done. You're going to have a baptistry. And then they told me, as new members, that they would love to be one of the first to be baptized in it. So I think that this is what we're going to do. And I met with them last week, and we got a little video recording. We're going to play it this coming Sunday and hear their heart and get a feel for what this baptistry is going to look like and hear why it's so important to them. But I'm very excited about the possibilities there, and we'll be talking about that, I'm sure, as we move forward here, both within Church Requel during the weekend services as well as here on the Church Requel audio podcast. This past Sunday morning, the Toxic Words theme was just really, really awesome. Probably the most awesome part of the service. Had nothing to do with me, had nothing to do with my planning, had nothing to do with what I thought was going to be happening, although the rest of that went really well. But the best part of the service was 10 seconds from a little kindergartner named Landon Sowards. And he had something special that he wanted to share. The audio is not great, but I did get a copy of it, and I want to play it for you now. So you might want to turn your speaker up just a little bit so that you can hear this as best as possible. Listen to these words from kindergartner Landon Sowards.
I believe Landon would like to make a public proclamation here.
On Tuesday, I got saved and asked Jesus into my heart.
Isn't that great? I love the fact that this happened and that I not only had nothing to do with it, I was actually surprised that it happened. I did receive an email from Landon's grandmother telling me that Landon had some great news for me and wanted to share it with me. So I was looking forward to hearing from Landon. But I was not in charge of the children's service, this children's sermon this past Sunday. I gave that opportunity to Pastor Steve, who did a great job. But Pastor Steve gave Landon the opportunity to share his testimony. And I tell you, there's just nothing better than that, to hear not only that someone has come to faith, but that a child has come to faith. You know, Church Requel has it's been a surprise to me, really, just how God has been attracting children to our ministry. I never originally thought of myself as a children's pastor, but God has been just doing great things in my life and in our church's life and been attracting children. This is another reason, by the way, why I feel it's so important that we have this portable baptistry that we can set up within our church, because as our children get older and they come to an age of accountability where they know, you know, the difference between right and wrong, and they make a decision for Christ, then I want to be able to baptize them, and I'd like to be able to do it right within the service. So just a great opportunity to be able to follow that through. But great news there from Landon. Brandy and Haley did an awesome job in singing. Brandy is back on the team. She took about 3 months off, but Brandy is just a wonderful worship leader, and she convinced her niece Haley to join her. Brandy can do that. Pastor Mark has asked Haley lots of times to sing, and she hasn't sung, but awesome singing. And then they both sang the words at the special that introduced the sermon, the song that you heard at the beginning, and you'll hear it again at the end by Hank Nelson. Perfect, perfect song for our sermon. As I mentioned, Steve gave the children's sermon. It was his first time to do it, and I thought he did a great job. Had some new people again. It seems like every Sunday we have some new people at Church Requil. We had a good crowd again on Sunday. It seems like we have broken through a new number. Before, 60 or so would have been a record for us. Now that seems to have become a floor for us. We just haven't been below 65 or so since Easter. Had a good crowd on Sunday. Had a couple of new people who ended up talking to Mary Kay afterwards. These are people who had heard me preach at a former church. And they said, you know, we didn't know Pastor Mark was in town. We didn't know that he had a church. We didn't know that he was preaching. We love hearing him. And they said that they would be back. So it's great. You know, I don't know what more we can do to get the word out. Obviously, there is more that we need to do. But that was just great to be able to hear. Got this email from a woman within our church. And this, I think, is just a great setup for you listening to the sermon from this past Sunday, the Toxic Words sermon. Hi, Pastor Mark. The lady writes, great lesson today. Thank you. Today it was difficult to relive all the hurtful words of my life, but great to move forward. Thank you for reminding me and for giving me some new coping mechanisms, as at times I still really struggle with all of those past hurts. Well, you know we all do, don't we? Things that someone has said to us, we just tend to play over and over again. And as I told the congregation Sunday morning, you know, this is not something that is just something that some of us struggle with. We all struggle with it in one way or another, even myself. So I'm looking forward to sharing this with you on the podcast. This is our next to last sermon in the Toxic series. Next week on the podcast, you'll hear our final sermon called Toxic Religion. But this is called Toxic Words. How do you handle the toxic words that happen in your life? The words that other people say to you, the words that you say to yourself. I think this is, again, one of the most practical sermons that I've ever heard. As I have mentioned before, this sermon series has come from LifeChurch.tv, and we really appreciate all of their support in providing not only sermon outlines, but providing the videos and a lot of the artwork that we're using. One of the things that I have learned as a pastor, especially of a new church plant, is that you just can't create everything yourself. And you don't need to. There's just so much work that needs to be done that when you can come across material that is already created and where permission is given, as is the case from LifeChurch.tv, to be able to reuse it. And, you know, whenever you give a talk, whenever you give a sermon, it does become unique to you anyway with your own stories and your own life lessons that you have used. But we sure do appreciate LifeChurch.tv and sharing this with us. And now I share this with you, the Toxic Words sermon from this past Sunday. If you are a listener to Church Requil Audio Podcast, let me just encourage you to pass this along, because you don't know who else in your life could use this help. You know, somebody else is probably struggling with toxic words as well, and this would be a great chance for them to have some means to be able to deal with the toxic words in their life. So tell them about the Church Requil Audio Podcast. They will thank you, and so will I. I'm going to wrap it up here. You just stay tuned, and the sermon will be right after this little music outro and intro. But thank you so much for listening. This has been Pastor Mark Pierce with Church Requel. You have a great week. Thank you, Brandy and Haley, for leading our worship today and for singing a song that really gets us into the mood of the topic today. For those of you who are our guests this morning, we have been in a series of sermons for the last 4 weeks that we're calling the Toxic Series. We've been taking a look at things that are toxic to our spiritual lives. We've taken a look at anything that's toxic thoughts that we play in our head, that is poisonous to our spirit, that can hurt us, that could even kill us. We've talked about toxic influences that's in our culture. Last week we talked about relationships that we might be in that are toxic to us. Today, as you might have already guessed from the theme of our service, we want to talk about words. Words can be toxic, but words can also be very helpful to us. I want to just say something and start something, and you all finish it once you know where we're going, all right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. All right, I want you to know that's poppycock, balderdash, untrue, because words can hurt us, right? We all can remember words that somebody has said to us at one time or another that even now we can think of. Words are so powerful. They can not only hurt us, but they can help us. They can lift us up. They can encourage us. The right words can help us make a decision when we really need to be able to make a decision. Words are powerful. They can make us feel good about ourselves. We read this in Proverbs 18:21. By the way, if you're following along using the YouVersion Bible, we put the notes in there and you can follow along really easily. You can use the Pew Bibles if you want. We even put the page numbers so you know where to look it up. I mean, we try to make it as easy as we can. So in Proverbs 18:21 or page 450, we read this. The tongue has the power of life and death. Do you see that? The tongue, this whole thing right in here, has the power of life on the one hand, but the power of death. The words that we speak can be life-giving or can be life-taking. The very definition of toxic. You know, when God created everything, when we read in Genesis, we find that God actually spoke everything into being. We learn that words have the power of creation. Words can create, but words can also destroy. Words can heal us and repair us, but words, as many of us know, can also hurt. In fact, the Bible even tells us that words can actually be a weapon to hurt us and to harm us. Toxic words, just so devastating to our lives. The verse that Pastor Steve used with the children today, Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words are like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. On the one hand, devastation. On the one hand, hurt. On the other hand, healing. Or this from Proverbs 15:4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit.
And we all know that about trees, right? Trees can be this wonderful thing. You can sit under the shade of it and enjoy a tree. But you don't want to be there when the lightning strikes a tree and it falls down, because that same tree that brings life can crush our bodies. Just like words can either bring life or can crush our spirit. Many of you right now, even if, as I'm talking, can remember crushing, piercing words that someone else has said to you that has been hurtful to you. And you play it over and over again in your head. And as a result of that, you feel crushed. Words like, I found somebody else. Or, you're such a disappointment in me. Or, why can't you be like a brother or a sister or somebody else that's close to you? Doesn't that just hurt and crush? On the other hand, that same person, or you to someone else, can have words that can be giving life and inspiration. I believe in you. You are so special. You can do it. You are so gifted. Life-giving words. Power of the tongue. Words can be toxic. Words can be healing. So what I'd like to do today is I'd like to give you some words of wisdom of how we handle toxic words in our life. There's going to be three things that we're going to talk about. First, we're going to be talking about words that we hear. And then we're going to be talking, in two cases, about words that we speak to others. And all three of these things, I think, are absolutely critical for you in how you handle toxic words in your life. So first of all, let's get right into it. First of all, guard your heart against toxic words. Guard your heart against toxic words. Now, I know that just sounds terribly easy to say and very difficult to do. So I want to give you some practical advice today about how you might guard your heart. Because this is a truth. It's worth remembering. It's worth contemplating. It's worth thinking about. I cannot control what other people say against me. I cannot control what other people say about me. But I can control what I believe. I cannot control what someone else says. I can't control what they might believe. I can't believe what they say about me. But I can control what I believe. I can control what I meditate on. I can control what I think about. I can control what I allow into my heart. We read this from Proverbs 4:20 and 23. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Here we have a father giving his best advice to his son. And he says, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Don't believe everything that you hear about yourself. Don't believe that it's true. See, what we repeat in our mind, what we say over and over again, what we allow to be part of our consciousness, that is what our mind interprets as truth. It doesn't necessarily be true. It isn't necessarily true. But if you allow it into your heart, the heart, your consciousness, your thinking about yourself has really very little filter. If you're not consciously guarding your heart, keeping out what you're repeating over and over again to yourself, it gets played as if it's true. Do you know that? Not so long ago, well, actually quite a bit of time ago, it just seems like yesterday to me, because I struggle with this, so I'm right there with you guys, for some of you who say this is hard. Someone told me once, that I really was not necessary, that I wasn't needed as part of the organization, that they could do better without me. Now, I don't need to go into the details of that, but I can tell you that even now as I hear those words spoken, because it came from somebody that I respected and because it came from somebody that I admired, even though I don't think it was true, I have played it over and over again in my head, and I try really, really hard to guard my heart here. But it is a struggle, and it's an ongoing struggle for any of us who have heard hurtful words from somebody that we really respect. Our mind doesn't know the difference about whether it's true or not. If we repeat it, if we let it play, if we just let it go unbidden. And here's a secret to you that you need to know about. You can't stop something from beginning to play, all right? Because sometimes you'll wake up and you'll just be thinking about something. It just seems to come unbidden into your mind. Do you know what I'm talking about? You can't control that. What you can control is the stop button that says, I'm not going to think that way. I'm not going to repeat it. I'm not going to let it go on. You can't stop it from starting, but you can start it stopping. Does that make sense? All right, it's kind of confusing, I know. I once was told by my grandmother when I was 9 years of age that I was going to be a pastor someday. And I have a great deal of respect for my grandmother, a big woman, wore those big tent dresses, you know, prayed all the time. Man, I tell you what, she was a powerful influence on me. And she didn't tell anybody else that, but she said, Mark, you're going to be a pastor someday. She never lived to see it. She had a powerful influence on me. Words can heal. But words can also be not helpful, can be harmful. I once had another pastor when I was 25 years of age. I had gone into the business world already, and I'd already had two children, and we were doing really well financially, but I still felt this call to be in the pastorate. So I went to our pastor at that time and said, hey, I'm thinking about maybe going in the pastor. I'm thinking maybe God has placed this on my heart. I think maybe he is calling me. To which advice the pastor said to me, you know, Mark, if you can do anything else, don't go into the pastorate. To which I thought to myself, well, I can certainly do something else. I'm happy to do something else. And, you know, for another 2 decades, I didn't go into the pastorate. But, you know, God just never stopped that call in my life. And those words, those powerful words of my grandmother, when I was 9, have continued to be some of my strength and have given me that reminder of what God has called me to do. I want you to write this down. If you got some space there, this is going to be helpful to you. You are not what others say you are. You are not what others say you are. You are God's creation, created new in Christ Jesus for God's purpose. You are not what others say you are. You are God's creation. You are created new in Christ Jesus. Christ has a purpose for you. And even if you, like me, have spent much of your life doing something different, that doesn't mean that God cannot use you powerfully right now, where you are, wherever you are in your life. You are not what others say you are. You have to guard your heart. You cannot control what other people say, but you can control what you believe. If you've still got that pen and paper, here's one other thing to write. You need to know the difference between truth and trash. Because sometimes you take as truth what somebody else says and it isn't true at all. But if you let it play over and over and over again in your head, you will treat it as true. You need to distinguish between what is true, what God says about you, and what God says who you are, and trash what somebody else says that doesn't know, or even if they think they do, they're wrong. And some of us have just allowed the trash of words to build up in our hearts and in our lives. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. I am so blessed in so many ways to have Mary Kay as my wife. But I'll tell you, one of the great blessings happen in our home every Wednesday evening. And if it wasn't for Mary Kay, I doubt that I would remember until it was practically too late. But every Wednesday night, we have a little ritual that we go through. And that ritual is, she goes through every trash bin in the place, and she puts it all into a bag, and she puts it all into the garage. And then she comes to me, and she taps me on the shoulder, and she says, Mark, it's Wednesday night. And I will say, uh-huh. And I will keep sitting there. And then she will say, Mark, all the trash is in the garage. And I'll say, uh-huh, yep, and I'll keep sitting there. And then she'll say, Mark, take out the trash. Thank you, Mary Kay, for that. Because if she did not say that, our house would be filled with what? Trash. Who wants a house filled with trash? You have to take out the trash every week, right? You have to take out the trash in your head, too. You cannot let other people's trash build up in your mind. You have to take it out. You have to internalize the truth and discard the trash. Now, how do you do that? Two more things I want to teach you today. Second of all, you need to start speaking life-giving words to others every chance you get. You need to begin speaking life-giving words to other people every chance you get. Some of us are waiting for the right opportunity. Let me tell you, the right opportunity is right now. As soon as you think of something good to say, say it. Don't wait. Don't think you're going to build somebody too big or going to give somebody a big head. We cannot have a big enough. We cannot hear more often enough the good things that you want to say to somebody else. On the other hand, whenever you're angry, whenever you're mad, whenever, you know, something happens that you don't like, I want right now to all of us to practice this. Stick your tongue out and go like this. This is what we need to do. We need to practice biting our tongue and stopping ourselves from saying things that we shouldn't be saying. You'll remember that part, won't you? We all have this fleshly nature to us. That's what it's called in the Bible. Our natural selves, our unguarded selves, cause us to just want to unleash hurtful words when we're angry. Here's a verse that I think would be worth memorizing. Have it up on the screen. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So here's the rule that we get from this verse. Whenever you think something good, say it every time. Give life to it. Don't hold it back. Send that email. Mail that note. Give the life-giving blessing. You can't do it often enough. The moment you think about it, do it. Get in the habit of getting that good stuff out all the time, because that's life-giving. And your words can actually give the blessing of life to somebody else. But on the other hand, whenever you're thinking something toxic, something that's critical, something that's angry, something that's a put-down, we have a word for it in our house. We call it snarky. Bite your tongue. Hold it back. Some of us are victims of tough relationships. And I appreciate, you know, your transparency with me as your pastor about this. And I pray for many of you daily. But we all know that in any kind of tough, toxic relationship, there are some toxic words. That's part of it. Whether you're the hearer of it or the giver of it, and usually in tough relationships, we're both. Right? Hold back those toxic words. Give life to the life-giving words. And number three today, speak life-giving words to yourself and to your circumstances. You need to speak life-giving words to yourself and to your circumstances. You know, there's just too many of us who have life-taking words that we repeat to ourselves over and over again, that we play back, the self-talk, the tape that goes over and over in our head. Even though we may not be saying it out loud, we are speaking it to ourselves. I'm never going to be good enough. Life's always going to stink. I'm sick of my life. I never get the breaks. I'm tired of this person. My marriage is always going to be bad. I'm always going to be in financial trouble. I'm never going to like my job. Over and over again, sometimes we speak negative, faithless words, toxic words to ourselves. And I want you to know, my friends, not only is that harmful to you, it does not honor God. Because those are not the words that God wants to be speaking into your life. God wants to be speaking faithful, life-giving words into your life. What is it that Jesus says? This is a powerful verse, and some of us have totally misunderstood this. Mark 11:23, page 708 in your pew Bible. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they will say will happen, it will be done for them. Now, what in the world is Jesus talking about there? Let me tell you what I think it means. Don't be talking about your mountains. Too many of you are talking about your mountains. You got mountains in front of you. You got mountains that are problems to you. You got mountain issues in your life, and I know that you do. Don't be talking about your mountains. Tell your mountains about God. David and Goliath. Everybody is talking about how large the giant was. And David is saying, he's too big to miss. Now, don't get me wrong. And some of you here need to hear this too. I'm not talking about a faith, word faith kind of theology. Some of you have heard this. I'm not talking about name it and claim it. Okay? I'm not talking about, I get a Lexus in Jesus' name. I get a big mansion in Jesus' name. No, that's not it. That's not what this is about. What we're talking about here, see, that's a total misinterpretation. We're talking here about aligning the truth of our lives and the truth that we allow into our lives. We align that truth with the truth of God. And many of us are not aligning the truth that's in our mind with the truth of God. I'm not what others say I am. I am who God says I am. I allow and I align my truth with God's word. I let God's truth drive me, not the toxic words of other people. I speak words of faith. I'm created by God to do great things. God is for me. God is not against me. God is with me. I have faith to deal with this issue. Now, this is really important that we bring all three of these things together. You can't just do one without the other. You have to guard your heart. But the best way to guard your heart is that you are speaking life-giving words to others. And at the same time as you're doing that, you're going to be speaking life-giving words to yourself. And as you do all three, as you're speaking life-giving words to others and to yourself, it's a lot easier to be guarding your heart. But if you're thinking all the time about what somebody else has said to you and you're hurt by that, and then you want to respond with hurtful words back to them, that can be a circle that drives us away from God's truth and within ourselves. Now, here's why this is so important. Matthew 12:34-37. This is what Randy read for us earlier today. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Have you ever thought about that? Every empty word. That word, empty, is actually the word argon or argos in the original Greek language. It means idle. It means lazy. It means unemployed. In other words, God is actually going to hold you and me accountable for not just harmful, hurtful words that we say to others and to ourselves, but the words that are useless, the words that are idle, the words that have no meaning, the words that are not intentional. Because you see, my friend, God knows how powerful, how strong words are. And some of you know this because you're playing those hurtful, harmful words over and over and over again. And you need to stop this tape recording of those harmful, hurtful words and begin listening to the truth of God's words playing in your heart and in your life. And when you find that it's hard for you to hear that about yourself, here's a secret. Start giving it out to others. You wish somebody would say something nice or kind or helpful to you. Here's a hint. Give somebody kind, helpful words to them. And the more you begin practicing giving those helpful, strengthening words to others, the more you'll be able to hear God speaking those same words to you, and the more you'll be able to guard your heart. Let's pray together.